Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, we go back inside the radio vault, this time to 1995, to learn about heaven from former longtime host David Weber. Friends, don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that is shared here on Watchmen on the Wall. Subscribe to our free e-newsletter, A Moment of Prophecy. The latest insight and analysis from our speakers and access to our latest resources. Sign up today for the free e-newsletter, swrc.com, or you can sign up by calling 1-800-652-1144. April is anniversary month. It's our 91st birthday as a ministry and as a daily radio program. Would you consider giving a gift in honor of our anniversary? You can give by visiting our website, swrc.com, or by calling 1-800-652-1144. Thank you, my friends. Thank you for your support of Watchmen on the Wall. Now, here is staff evangelist Josh Davis.
As SWRC celebrates 91 years in Christian broadcasting, we wanted to go back to one of the past presidents of Southwest Radio Ministries, Dr. David Weber. David was the son of ministry founder Dr. E.F. Weber, and David served as the president of Southwest Radio Ministries during part of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And this is a classic program teaching about heaven, and he called it simply More About Heaven. In this first segment, Dr. David Weber teaches, how can we go to heaven? And why will there be a new heaven and a new earth?
My friends, God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. I want to read a scripture from John chapter 10, where Jesus talks about the sheepfold, and I believe he's talking about heaven, although the word heaven does not appear. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and robber. But he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. According to John 10, verse 9, he is the door to heaven. And I believe that when it says, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber, a malefactor, not seeking God, but to do things in his own way, by himself. So to me, this is a description of heaven, and Jesus Christ is the door, and those who hear his voice will obtain heaven, because it says they will be saved and shall find pasture. In other words, their needs shall be supplied. Believe me, dear friends, no one will enter heaven except through the door, which is Christ Jesus, who did purchase our redemption. He redeemed us and made us free from sin and death and the judgment that was against all who descended from Adam. There's no subject that should give us a greater thrill than to talk about heaven. The Bible says, eye hath not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for them that love him. As we try to describe the eye of faith, the aspiration of the Old Testament saints, both the New Testament and the Old Testament, and of the tribulation and the millennial temple and the millennial saints, no earthly pen can hope to convey the completeness of joy, the fullness of peace that will be ours as Christians, born-again believers in God's new heaven and new earth, having inhabited this earth where empires crumble and fade away, where death and destruction are rampant. It is hard for us to conceive of a kind of world in which there is no death and destruction. I'm afraid the doctors will have to play golf. They will be out of a job, and someday God will reveal our heavenly inheritance, and it will be beyond human words. The false and empty shadows, the life of sin, are past. God gives me mine inheritance, the land of life at last. Prior events that occur are these. We have seen Satan loosed from his prison at the end of the thousand-year millennial period, and numerous as the sands of the sea are those who follow him, not satisfied with Christ Jesus. And as the rebels encircle Jerusalem, God, in a judgment from heaven itself, reaches down and slays them all. Revelation 20, verses 7 to 9. At this point, no unsaved are left alive. Satan is then cast into the lake of fire to join Antichrist and the false prophet. Interesting that the Antichrist and the false prophet do not stand before the great white throne judgment, and Satan, when his armies and hordes are defeated, will also be cast literally into the lake of fire, which is the second death, and is a permanent exile from the presence of God and all the redeemed. After that, the unsaved dead are raised from the dead in what is commonly referred to as the second resurrection, I believe in a corruptible state, because it says, blessed and holy are all those who have part in the first resurrection, being when the believers were raised to life eternal with Christ. Revelation 20, verses 5 through 14. And one of the saddest verses in all the Revelation book. Revelation 20, 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Then God seeks to purge even the physical earth and heavens of any evidence of sin. He does this by sending a fire so intense that it melts the elements with fervent heat and burns the earth. Now, we remember also, God has atomic fire. He has fire that is so intensely hot, something we've never experienced on this planet. But God's fire can either illuminate, as in the case of Moses' burning bush, or it can destroy and burn up, as we read in Isaiah chapter 66, and in 2 Peter 3 verses 10 to 12. Then God will have ridden the universe of the last vestige of man's pollution through sin. And every Christian will enter into the most thrilling glory that God has prepared, a new heaven and a new earth. The heavens will not be unclean then in his sight, and the new earth will have no curse, no sin, no death and destruction. One of the first inklings that God gives us about the divine inheritance for us is found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind.
As Dr. David Weber continues his teaching, he begins to focus on what will the new heaven and earth be like, and what is the difference between the millennial kingdom and the new heaven and new earth.
I wonder if you can grasp the full significance of this verse. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. The marvelous and beautiful things of God's headquarters, God's heaven. So wonderful, we forget about this dusty old earth in which things crumble to decay and dead things are here. But it will be so wonderful, so breathless in sight and activity. It will literally occupy all our thoughts. We will not even remember this old world we call planet Earth. It simply will not come into our minds. Can you imagine such tranquility, such peace of mind? There will be no homesickness for the old things of earth. Such will be the dazzling splendor of this new earth and the new heavens that are no longer tarnished by the evil traffic of the prince of the power of the air. The new heavens and new earth do not come into being until after the battle of Armageddon, Revelation 16, verses 16 and 19. After the millennial reign of Christ, Revelation 20. After the judgment of sinners, the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20. After the present earth is burned up, 2 Peter 3, Revelation chapter 21. Scriptures indicate that we will be the same person, having the same soul as we have now, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and our names will be written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, and we will have a new glorified body. Praise God. The characteristics of this new body will no doubt bear a relationship to our former body, much the same as the qualities of Christ's resurrection body bore to his same pre-resurrection body. The Bible tells us when we accept Christ as Savior and Lord, we too are spiritually a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The new birth, the birth that is from above, is spiritual. And of course, it will make us new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that will be true of us, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and created new in all things, untouched, unmarred by sin. We will truly be new creatures in every respect once we have received our new glorified bodies. Yes, Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, new heavens, new earth, and a new Jerusalem. Here will be a place finally without corruption. No decay, no rust. Many people think that silver won't rust, but rust, which is iron oxide, also has its counterpart, even in silver oxide and silver sulfide. All metals today corrode in one way or another. The millennium will not yet be heaven. We compare Isaiah 65, 20 with Revelation 21, 4. The government of the millennium will be a theocracy. A theocracy is a government in which God is recognized as the supreme ruler, and his laws are taken as the laws of the state, and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron, according to Isaiah chapter 2. In the millennium will be three classes of people. Number one, all the saved of Israel alive, the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Number two, all the saved of the Gentiles alive, at the end of the seven-year tribulation period. Number three, the believers who have died before the rapture. These resurrected saints will have positions of responsibility in the millennium. They will have resurrected bodies.
We have a special resource available to you. It's a book by Dr. David Weber called Heaven and Hell. It's available from Southwest Radio Ministries. You can call us at 1-800-652-1144. Or go online to swrc.com. Again, you can call 1-800-652-1144 or visit us online at swrc.com. Again, the book is called Heaven and Hell, and it includes so much more information that Dr. David Weber is speaking about on the program today. We're going to continue with this classic teaching from Dr. David Weber, and he will begin speaking about what will the millennium be like. Who will go into the new heaven and the new earth, and what will it be like?
I want to read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Praise God, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. We were talking about life in the millennium and what it would be like. Life in the millennium will be one of peace, Isaiah 11, 6 through 9. Happiness, long life and health, Isaiah 33, 24, and Isaiah 65, 20. The new heavens and the new earth follow the millennium chronologically as far as we can determine. Thus, believers who through acceptance of Christ are now new creatures will be completely fulfilled in all of God's glory in the new heavens and the new earth. We recall the relationship between Christ and his saints is revealed in Christ's high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, his intercession in Gethsemane when he prayed, Father, I will that they also, when whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. There will be no need of hospitals, nor will there be pain and sorrow, no heart disease, arthritis, diabetes, cancer, headaches, and nervous tension. It will all be forever gone. We will have a new body, a glorified body, and it will no longer be sin-sick. And of course, we know there will be a new Jerusalem. We read in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It is important to remember that this new golden city, Jerusalem, will not be the identical city on this present earth that we know as Jerusalem. We read in Revelation 21:10, And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. God is revealing to John, the author of this inspired book of Revelation, that great city, Jerusalem, descending out of the sides of the north, out of heaven. I believe, because of several scriptures, that this new city, Jerusalem, is suspended over the earth as John sees it in the future. Why do I believe that? Simply because the Bible tells us the men of those who are saved shall walk in the light of the new Jerusalem. Today we walk in the light of the sun. It doesn't rest upon the earth. It revolves almost 93 million miles away from this planet. I don't think the new Jerusalem will be that far, but since the Bible also tells us in these catastrophic days the sun and moon will flee away, that the new Jerusalem will go into perhaps geosynchronous orbit, and it will provide light for the earth, which the sun has accomplished previous to the end of days. So we suggest the new city Jerusalem is suspended like a great golden chandelier over the earth as John sees it in the future apocalypse. One of the interesting aspects of these new things is that while God chose to reveal to us in one single verse the creation of new heavens and a new earth, there are at least 25 verses which describe in great detail the great city, the Holy Jerusalem. You know, it's hard for man to fathom the characteristics of this new city, Jerusalem, an eternal city without a temple. And of course, there will be a temple in the millennial earth, and I believe Jesus Christ will be the builder. But here in this new city, Jerusalem, there will be no need for a temple, for Christ will be the temple, and he will be the light thereof. The entire city will be like a temple, and we will worship, such worship as perhaps we've never known on this earth. It will be a vast cubicle, holy of holies, wherein God dwells, Revelation 21:16. Since there will be no sin, and our conversation and thoughts will be holy, we will be dwelling with God in that holy city. And the Bible tells us there will be no darkness there. Christ will be the light that illumines that city. And personally, I believe the light will reach out even to this earth. For Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. With sin gone, and with the saints being the physical presence of God, his light will be our light, and there will be no night there. Revelation 21:25. For there shall be no night there. There shall be no tears in heaven. There will be no more pain in heaven, no more sorrow, no crying in heaven. There will be no death in heaven. Hear God's wonderful promises to every Christian who has placed his faith and trust in him. Revelation 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a glorious transformation. When his blessed face I see, no more pain and no more sorrow. Oh, what glory that will be. My dear friends, we need to realize that no man can look upon God's face until we are redeemed, transformed by the power of the indwelling Christ, saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit, and we have a new body, and our new eyes will be spiritual eyes that can see things that are hidden from us today.
In this final segment, Dr. David Weber will speak about what will the new Jerusalem be like. And he ends by asking, where will you spend eternity? That's a question that we all must ask ourselves. And he gives a word of encouragement to help us to know that we can be ready for eternity and that we know that we will be there with the Lord in that beautiful place called heaven. Here to conclude this classic teaching is Dr. David Weber.
Our vocabulary, as Paul tells us, is inadequate to describe all the wonders and beauties and glories that will be heaven. We can't do it justice, we realize that, but we try to give you little glimpses as the Bible speaks. For the scripture foundation today, I want to read in Revelation 21, verse 5, and Revelation 22, the first five verses. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Have you ever experienced the thrill the first time you walk into your new home? It is an event of happiness and contentment and fulfillment. Over the years, however, that feeling fades away, especially when the roof needs repairing or the furnace needs replacing. But, my dear friends, in heaven, that initial joy will continue throughout all eternity. There will be no disappointments in heaven. And let's examine some characteristics of God's heaven. The temple, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb, the tabernacle of God, is with men. Revelation 21:22 and 21:3. The sunlight will be dazzling. The glory of God and the Lamb, no sunburn. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The river that proceeds from the throne of God, a pure river, clear as crystal. This is the river of paradise, with its fountainhead being God and the Lamb, paradise restored. While the streams of earth are polluted, this river of life is pure and clear as crystal. Revelation 22:1. The tree of life that was found in the Garden of Eden before man ever sinned is restored to this beautiful city. Though the midst of the broad way of the city also, and either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 varieties of fruit, yielding each month its fresh crop. My father used to say, by the time you'd gotten tired of apples, here comes oranges. By the time you're tired of oranges, pears, or grapefruit, or bananas, or whatever. 12 manner of fruit, one every month, you can enjoy to the full. And the leaves for the healing of the nations. Fed by pure waters of the crystal river, this tree offers 12 varieties of fruit to satisfy every taste, all of your taste buds, and it is never barren. You may recall in Genesis 2:9 that out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired. But of course, by disobeying God's law, Adam caused sin to enter the world. Now this beautiful tree of life in the New Jerusalem has healing in its leaves, forgiveness to all who believe. And there's no temptation, no more curse. Satan is relegated to some lake of fire, perhaps a black hole, and is no longer present, a permanent exile. And the curse has been removed as God promised. Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. No night. Well, we don't understand that, because when we have night across the world, it's daytime. But God is a light, and the light will be supreme, no shadows, no darkness. No need for candles or light bulbs or even sunlight, for the Lord God will be, by his very presence, light supreme and will illuminate this new Jerusalem and the new earth. The city will be as transparent gold. This may be hard to imagine, as nothing on earth can presently duplicate a pure gold, clear and transparent as glass. Yet God showed John in the Revelation a sight of this new city, New Jerusalem, which he could only describe as having streets of gold, so clear and transparent that it resembled glass. What a marvelous revelation of our new home. What a marvelous promise. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, nor shall there be any night there. Nothing and no one shall enter in but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You know, in Revelation 20, we see the books are open for the judgment of the unsaved dead, I believe brought back to life in a corruptible state, a horrible thought to contemplate. But also, because God is just, the Lamb's book of life will be open at the great white throne judgment. I do not believe a single individual who stands before the great white throne will be found in the book of life. For no unsaved person will be in heaven, nothing that would defile this heavenly kingdom. How true that old things will have passed away and all things will be new. How long is eternity? Eternity is forever. We can't conceive of this either. In this world, man must either decide to accept Christ as personal Lord and Savior, or by sinful indecision, reject Him. Based upon that decision, he destines himself either for God's forgiveness and an eternity in heaven, or for God's judgment and an eternity in the lake of fire. Try to imagine this earth upon which we dwell is nothing but sand. Now try to imagine that a little bird could fly through space from a faraway planet to ours and carry back with him a tiny grain of sand, that the round trip would take 1,000 years. Now imagine how long it would take for that little bird to carry away this entire earth, a grain of sand each 1,000 years. The time required for all this would be but a moment in comparison to eternity. Where will you spend eternity? Will it be in the places that God has prepared for them that love him, or will it be a place of darkness, disorder, and torment? A place where permanent exile of the devil and his angels will be confined to some wandering star, some black hole, some literal lake of fire. My friends, it's all in the Bible. But you, made in the likeness and image of God, must decide where you will spend eternity. I pray it will be in the presence of God and the Lamb, in heavenly places that God has prepared for all those who love him.
Friends, I trust that this classic teaching on heaven from Dr. David Weber has been a spiritual encouragement to you and helps you to be ready for that beautiful place called heaven. We're looking forward to that day. And until that day, may we walk closely with the Lord.
We've been listening to a broadcast from former host David Weber that was first heard in 1995. If you'd like to dive deeper into what the Bible says about heaven and hell, I would recommend two resources from David Weber: his outstanding book, Heaven and Hell, and the brand new audiobook of Heaven and Hell. Heaven and Hell is an excellent resource that looks into heaven, hell, Satan, angels, and the new heaven and the new earth. Whether you get the book or the brand new audiobook, Heaven and Hell by David Weber will uncover the answers to questions of who Satan is, the truth of who the angels are, the confirmation that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and how one can get to heaven. So make sure you order Heaven and Hell book and audiobook today when you call 1-800-652-1144. You can also order the book and audiobook at our website, swrc.com. All this week, we've been celebrating our anniversary month by looking to the past. Tomorrow, we look at the exciting future of SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall. Be sure to tune in on your favorite radio station by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our daily Watchmen on the Wall podcast. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Please visit our website, swrc.com.